ايوه نقرا في اصول العقيده اصول الايمان اين وقفنا نقرا رساله حمايه المصطفى نعم تفضل جنابة
كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حريصا أشد الحرص من حيث اللغة على أمته لتكون عزيزة منيعة فقط من دونه محمد فقط من دونه إلى عز وجل مجانا عزيزة لكل الوسائل والأسباب
المفضية لا بدون شد المفضية
لما يضاده
يضاده
وينافذ قال تعالى قال الله تعالى لقد جاء
التي بعث بها
من كل ما قد يشوبها من الأقوال والأعمال التي يضمحل معها التوحيد أو ينقص وهذا كثير في السنة الثالثة عن صلى الله عليه وسلم فأقام بحسب الحجة وأزال الشبهة وقطع المعذرة وأذان السبيل وفي المطالب الكتابية عرض يتبين من خلال حماية المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم حمى التوحيد وسدد كل طريق
كل
طريق
يفضي إلى الشرك يعني يؤدي
وسد كل طريق يفضي إلى الشرك والباطل.
طيب الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يقول المبحث الثالث chapter المبحث where we are going to discuss the new issues and their evidences. وسماه حماية المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم جناب التوحيد. حماية المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم جناب التوحيد. He named it or titled it with the protection of المصطفى for the boundaries of التوحيد. Boundaries of التوحيد. حماية من الحماية تكون قبل وقوع الضرر. As we know, حماية in English, protection. And protection means before anything, it's for prevention. Yeah, prevention, sorry. It's a prevention. والمصطفى هو النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وإن كان هذا ليس اسما له كما يظن الكثير. مصطفى is the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, but it is not a name for him, as many people think, and they may name their children with. And that's wrong. لكن هو من ألقابه ومن ألقابه. It is one of the surnames of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. يعني المصطفى أي اصطفاه الله. المصطفى أي اصطفاه الله. مثل الماحي والحاشم وما إلى ذلك. So as الماحي الحاشم and so on. These are surnames of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. But it is not a name for him. It's not a name for him. جناب جناب التوحيد جناب as you said these are the boundaries. The جناب is the boundaries. That is the جناب. من الجوانب يعني من جنب وجنب جنب وجنب يسمى جناب. Sides. أو يقول كذا. فمن كل جهة. It's from all the sides. He صلى الله عليه وسلم protected it from all the sides. He did not leave any gap for the shirk association to escape in. التوحيد التوحيد يعني كلنا نعرف التوحيد وهو من وحد الشيء وحده توحيدا أي جعل الشيء واحدا جعل الشيء واحدا والمقصود جعل الآلهة واحدة كما قال الله عز وجل عن قريش أنهم قالوا أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدة هم فهموا توحيد means to make things يعني make to single out something single out something it means to single out Allah and the Godhood or in your worship so you worship only one single God which is Allah Ta'ala and Allah Ta'ala said the Quran about Quraysh when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called him to single out Allah and worship and they worship they said أجعل الآلهة إلها واحدة does Muhammad want to make all the gods in one cancel all of them and make it only one which is Allah طيب قال لقد كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حريصا أشد الحرص على أمته كان حريصا فما ترك من خلل إلا وعالجه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم was يعني very إيش يسمونه الحريص إيجر لا ليس إيجر ها original original was original in regard to anything that can harm the aqeedah, the belief of the ummah. Even the small, small things. Even the small, small things. يعني ذا لايك يعني مرة سمع رجل يقول ما شاء الله وشئت يا رسول الله. وهو يعلم أن هذا الرجل لا يريد الشرك. لكن لسد الباب Imam came to him and he said, "What Allah wills, O Messenger of Allah, and what you will." He corrected him, although he knew that this man never mean to fast the shirk, because they just come off the shirk. He just left the shirk to the religion that he called them to, which to single out the God. So how come they commit sin? But he saw Salam corrected him and in some cases he was tough. Just because to protect this. So later on, those of weak iman do not take it as an excuse saying, well, Rasulullah, here's the man and keep quiet. Like today, we hear some of these du'as, Sufis, or like this Al-Habib Al-Jifri, and I hear them one day saying that they criticize us burying the awliya in the masajid or building masajid on the graves. Why Rasulullah did it? Look how they try to, you know, play with whatever means they have to corrupt the people and to destroy their aqeedah. Huh? What he took us and he said it is in Sahih Muslim and people believe it when a man like this come with a turban and jubban and sits like that and yani, they enormous him in the TV and they make people to call with different voices yes, to influence the audience that oh he has a lot of love yani, followers and they did not hear nothing What's his answer? Right, no problem. You can get to my website andforall.net and you will hear it all there. The khutbah, the answers, everything. Inshallah, today. Inshallah. And here, the admins, inshallah, hear me now. We need it to be, inshallah, now on the website. Right. Now, so these deviant scholars try to take any chance to corrupt the aqidah of the people. That's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with what Allah ta'ala revealed to him, he closed all the ways, even the minor way of getting into the aqidah of corruption, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam closed it. Now they say, you criticize us for having a dome over the grave. Rasul's grave was a dome. He did not do the dome. He was buried in the house of Aisha. There was no dome. They say, you say no grave inside masjid, no masjid to be built on a mosque, on a grave. But we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His grave is inside his mosque. We say, but he, so let's assume that it happened after him. But he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, why we leave his saying to what happened after him? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Allahumma la taj'al qabri eida. Allahumma la taj'al qabri watan yu'bad. He said, oh Allah, do not turn my grave to be an idol worship. A God, worship. Oh Allah, do not turn my grave to be a place people make a regular worship in it. Eid. So he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, closed all these ways that may lead to the shirk. That may lead to the shirk. And many, many, many cases. Many cases. And one day, he saw a man tying a thread on his arm. And he asked him, what is this for? He said, it is for al-wahina. Al-wahina is an illness that can affect the shoulder. And he said, remove it. Remove it as this may not benefit you, but it would increase your wahina. And if you die with it, you may not be successful. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling this to the man. Look at it today. They both cover ring or bracelet or what you call this? Huh? Bracelet. And they say, oh, it is for rheumatism, it is for losing weight. Okay, this is not something ordinary. People know, doctors know how to treat. If this is the medicine for rheumatism or for, we don't need any doctors, khalas. We go to the Smith, and he makes us this, khalas. We go to Dr. Smith, and he makes this for us. And if it is for losing weight, we don't need to go to a gym. Close all the gyms. We just put this and that's it. And eat a cow. Huh? You want? Tawfiq wants to. He wants to be very, in shape. He might have some questions. He may be questioned before. Really, I believe that all the airlines will make it obligatory for every passenger to wear one before you come, at least before 2-3 months before you get the flight. So, no more weight on the flight. But this is something ridiculous. People today believe in this. Although we see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 1,400 years, he criticized that and he said that this is wrong and this doesn't do it. But yet, today, after all this time, you see people doing this, subhanAllah. And they say, oh, we got it from the pharmacy. Actually, pharmacies are businessmen. They are businessmen. They are nothing more than that. That's why you see in the pharmacy, what do you call that, hair colors. This doesn't relate to medicine. Doesn't relate to medicine at all. Even better charges, they sell in the pharmacy. This doesn't have nothing to do with medicine. But it's a shop like any other supermarket. But it is mainly medicine supermarket. That's all. But people today, subhanAllah, we just run after things like that, you know. And this is only because, it is not because we have lost the science of medicine. No. Today, it is the best century, the best time for medicine, science. But it is because we lost our aqidah. People lost their aqidah. That's why they run after anything, even if it is nothing. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam protected the aqidah of the ummah and prevented any deviation from coming into the pond of aqidah. And that's why, as Allah Ta'ala described them in Surah Tawbah, Ayah 128, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَأَوْفُ الرَّحِيمِ. So he was described like that by Allah Ta'ala in the Quran even before he died. نعم وقد أكثر صلى الله عليه وسلم في النهي عن الشرك وحذر وأنذر. As we said, Isa Salam for many, many, many occasions, Isa Salam was warning against the shirk. Minor or major, not to minor shirk. To minor shirk, even in minor shirk, he did not leave it go like that. When he, as I told you, the man who said, MashaAllah wa shirk, this is minor shirk. When he heard the man saying, Wal Kaaba, swearing by the Kaaba, this is minor shirk. But did he leave it go like that? No, he did not. He did not leave it go like that. He corrected it then and then. And when he was going to Hunayn, and the man saw the kuffar hanging their weapons on a tree called that Anwar, he said, Ya Rasulullah, a sign is that Anwar for us, like they have that Anwar. The man thought that it's only for blessing, not a jar. But the Prophet turned very angry, saying to him, by the one whom my soul is in his hand, you have said exactly like what Bani Ismail said to Musa. But this man did not say like what Bani Israel said to Musa. Bani Israel said to Musa, a sign of God for us. A sign of God for us to worship. Like these people have a God. Which was the ball to worship. So the man did not say it, did not mean it. But Rasulullah SAW was tough with him. Why? Because it is the time. If Rasulullah was so soft with him, maybe some people after his time come and say, look, if it was something big, Rasulullah would not make it small correction. But alhamdulillah, Rasulullah made it very determined, sharp, tough, to make sure that the ummah after that do not come to this understanding. But today again, even today, they say, no problem, the wali has a special power. You still can take him as a god. They say that. The Sufis and the Shia are doing that. They do. And even many Sunnis, when we say Sunnis, we do not people who follow the Sunnah. But people who do not, as they say, they are not in a group with the Sufism, or with the Shia, but they are either not with the Sunnah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So these people, these people are saying so. So, Isa Sallam, protected the Aqeedah and prevented it from all the harm that can fall on it. And that's why, and this is only for that, the Aqeedah must not, the Aqeedah does not go one time like that. It does not go one time like that. As it came to your heart gradually, because you cannot have the iman put like that. Once you say, Ashhadu Allah, oh, full iman. No, it's not like that. It's not like that. And it's like the tank of your car. You cannot have it filled just like that once. You have to wait some time filling it. And you cannot have it lost like that. It will take some time to get lost. So same with iman in the heart. And it starts small as Allah Ta'ala said, قَالَ كُلَ عَرَبُوا أَمَنَّا قُلْ لَمْ تُؤْمِنُوا وَلَكِنْ قُلَ أَسْلَمْنَا. So they began with Islam. They began with Islam. When they embraced Islam first, they began with Islam. Yet they do not feel the taste of Islam until they do all the worships. Once they feel the worship, if they pray, they feel the prayer. If they pray optional prayers, if they donate some sadaqah charity, if they do some dhikr, here the iman increases, and it goes up to the top of the heart. And once they leave these worships, one after another, iman goes, but as it was from, it will go empty, no doubt. And the worst thing that can consume the iman from the heart is the bid'ah, the innovation. Just consume it like that. Not the ma'asi, the sins. The sins also, but the effect of the sin is smaller. Back again. I'm like the tablighis, huh? Do some examples of what you know. Your car. You fill the tank with gas. What consumes the gas now? What consumes the gas? Huh? The distance. And the speed. If you drive on 50, the consumption goes small. If you just push on the accelerator, the gas will go like this, right? And the other thing is, when you don't consume, it will vibrate. When you just park, and you fill the tank and park the car for 1 month. After 1 month, you come and run the car, you may have no gas in it, because it vibrates. Same thing with the iman. If you don't increase it, you will lose it. It will go. Because it's a kind of resistance between you and the shaitan. The shaitan tries to make many holes in your heart to make you lose the remaining of your gas, which is the iman. If you do not maintain the heart, this iman will go. So you have to maintain it. How to maintain it? By what Rasulullah ﷺ told us. But by what Yusuf ﷺ used to do. He used to pray night prayers all night. Long night. Tell his wife, Aisha, said to him, Ya Rasulullah, have some rest. Allah already forgive you. Forgive all of your sins, past and future. Although, no one can name for me one sin that Yusuf ﷺ done. No one can name for me, right? But Isa used to pray a lot. And he said that I need to be a thankful and dutiful slave of his Lord. And he used to spend all of the money from his pocket. To limit that, some nights he sleeps very hungry. He came off his house one day in the afternoon. It wasn't a habit for him to come in that time. And he met Abu Bakr and Umar, and they asked him, where you come out of this time, Ya Rasulullah? He said, I'm hungry. Trying to find something to eat. Aisha said, 3 months may pass while the house of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is no fire there to cook. And when she was asked, what did you eat? She said, only the 2 blocks, the date and water. That's it. 3 months. Why? Because he used to spend his money. And he said one day, I don't like to have as much money as the size of the mountain of Uhud. And I spent 1 or 2 nights, I still have some of it remaining in my hand. This increases the iman. When you do these things for the sake of Allah, this increases the iman. And I tell you, one main source of increasing the iman, wallahi, you would never ever find anything increasing your iman like seeking knowledge. Nothing. Wallahi, if you pray 1,000 years, it does not equal one sitting of ilm. But a proper sitting. Not just listener, body here, mind out. No, this equals zero. And maybe minus zero. So, let's now increase our iman and see how Allah Ta'ala protects our aqidah. Look to this country now, Saudi Arabia. That is the only country that is very strongly protected. Although it is weak in army, but it is protected. Why? Because they are taking care of the aqidah. That's it. Allah protecting it. Allah protecting it. As He promised in the Quran. So, inshallah ta'ala, in the coming weeks, we are going to speak about how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam protected the aqidah. What are the means? And I will show you that exactly the same things that Isa sallam warned against is happening today by Muslims. Today, after 1,400 years of the death of Rasulullah sallam, we still have it. That means that we're just ignoring the guidance of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the guidance of Allah. Naam, wallahu a'lam. And just before we go to the food, quick answers to these questions. Here a question says, what is wrong with watching TV? Is it haram? It depends. If you are watching animal programs, no, it is not haram because the man can see the female lion, no problem. She does not need to cover her face from you. And your wife can't see the male lion. Your wife can't see the male lion. She does not need to cover from male lion. But if you want to watch TV watching the very pretty woman addressing the news, putting makeup and choosing very well by the binoculars and magnifying glasses around the world, then you tell yourself and ask yourself, how is your iman? Is it going up? And you need to watch the indicator. Is it going up or down? Wallah, you will see it. I challenge you. You will see it. And of course, if you are watching these TV channels, they might present a woman talking while the Adhan is called. And you will now see the test. And I challenge you, you're not going to be so active like before. You're going to say, okay, just wait, no? Some minutes. There is a very important news. Although the news was said an hour ago, and you watch the same thing, same woman, but now more details you want to know about the news, not of the world, but of this woman. That's the problem. That's how iman is affected. Is anashid allowed in Islam? Yes, allowed in Islam and preferable in Islam if you already memorized the whole Quran. If you already finished memorizing the whole Quran with the Qira'at, 10 Qira'at, different Qira'at, and you memorized Bukhari and Muslim, and mashallah you pray 1,000 rak'ah a day, then no problem listening to anashid. I don't know where from you get time to listen to anashid.
You better listen to the Quran. We have today a lot of recordings for very beautiful voice reciters. Why do I need to go to these singers? I call them singers. They are not munshid as they call them. They are liars. They say munshid. Now, it says here, assalamu alaikum. What about women who are often very tired by the duties imposed on them by families, right? By family, like taking care of children, right? Especially young babies who constantly need breastfeeding and cause the mother to be deprived of sleep. But what is the question then? Don't have, what is the question? I could not know the question. What the husband should do? Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم in the house, as Aisha رضي الله عنها said, when she was asked, what did he used to do in the house? She said he used to help his family. He used to help his family. And because he did not have children, he used to maintain his clothes, shoes, and help them, play with them. But if you have children and she is tired of taking care of them, share it. I myself, something secret between you and I, don't tell nobody. I wash clothes. I told my wife, but not now. Now my youngest child is 9, I think. So, but before, when she had a baby, I used to tell her, okay. I used to cook special food for her to make her strong, because I still need her. If I did not need her, believe me, I would not have fed her. Yeah. But I used to help, and I still help. Although she said, now I'm okay, it became a habit of me now. It became a habit of me sometimes. I go just, clean the yard or do something. Even sometimes I clean the toilet. It became a habit of me. Now I like it. I don't know if my wife, may Allah extend her life, if my wife died, what would I do? But I'm sure I have a duty, because then I'll take everything. But this husband, I don't know how he wants his wife, who's too busy with, and he wants more children. Okay, that's great. And I advise the sister to say no. But when you have a machine that produces something for you, and you keep just operating it to produce without maintaining it, without pleasing it, you will have it one day broken down. And the production stopped. Totally. So, alhamdulillah, this woman does not need for you to maintain. And I don't advise her to ask you to maintain. Because this is the duty of doctors. And you are going to... And if he is not that happy, he will maintain her with the poison of mice. But at least, help in the house. Participate. Take some duties. You don't know how to serve babies? No problem. Clean the house. Clean the dishes if you don't know how to cook. After you have your stomach full, clean the dishes. Simple. You gotta take something. And she would be the most happy woman in the world, because when the woman sees her husband taking care of her, wallahi, it is very, very beautiful thing that she finds. But many, many brothers, subhanAllah, outside, if they go with their friends outside, they are the one who clean the place, they are the one who serve the food, they are the one, subhanAllah, men and men. They are like you, let them go and work. But when you are with your wife, you need to be so handsome, so keen. Assalamu alaikum. I hear Sheikh Halabi, student of Sheikh Albani, say a fiqh lecture delivered many years ago, 2001. Ibn Taymiyyah Seminar Level 1 in Brixton Masjid, London. Where is London? She need to say UK. In Europe. Inshallah, Abdul Rahman, this is the kind of advertisement for your message. Sitting and sleeping deeply break wudu as he saw the person pass wind while he was sleeping. What is the correct understanding? What is the correct understanding to Sheikh Halabi or to me? If to me, I think I said it in Bulugh al-Maram. This is hadith. Yeah. We said, if it is a real deep sleeping, then yes, it invalidates the wudu. But the normal sleeping people fall on in the masjid when they are waiting for the iqamah or the khutbah, this does not break the wudu. The evidence for that is what happened during the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, when he ﷺ delayed Salat al-Isha until midnight. People were there in the masjid from the usual time of Isha prayer. Umar ibn Khattab then, he knocked the door and said, Ya Rasulullah, maqran hada? Subhanallah. He knocked the door and he said, Ya Rasulullah, the people have slept. So he came and led the prayer without asking to go and make wudu. So it means that they did not go on deep sleep, but they were just, now. What is the ruling of the woman using kuhl and henna while going outside the house? No problem outside, inside, no problem, because the woman who is outside, the Muslim woman outside, is that to the stranger men, like she inside the house, like the stranger men. So when she is inside the house, the people outside the house cannot see her. So she can use kuhl and henna, no problem. But when she is outside the house, she is inside the hijab and niqab. So they don't see, no problem. Unless if she takes the opinion of exposing the face, then we don't say don't put kuhl, but I rather advise her to cover her face. Because I'm a man. And you all men. And you all know, with or without kuhl and makeup, the face of woman is a real fitna. Is a real, real fitna. So I'm not so convinced that if the woman has a makeup, it's haram without makeup, or kuhl is halal. No, it is haram. Allah Ta'ala said, وَلَا يُبْدِينَ زِينَتَهُنَّ إِلَّا لِبُعُولَتِهِنَّ أو to the end of the ayah. So this is a zina. Unless if someone say the face is not zina, the face is the most ugly part of the body, then his wife need to have something done with him. I think she must have some extra pots in the kitchen to get rid of them on his head. Because it's normally. Now when you come back home, when you come back home, and you know that your wife is waiting for you there, and you come and see her, mashallah, with makeup and mashallah, you say, mashallah, la quwwata illa billah. What a beautiful woman she is today. So why? Because it's the face. It's the face. And because the face is the base of beauty. That's why they use the makeup on the face. You don't see any woman make the makeup on her feet. No one. And it is normally, yani what attracts the men, I don't know, me. Maybe I'm either Superman or strength. Me, Muhammad al-Malki, I find the face of the woman is the most attractive part of her body. I don't know if I had you, sir. You also? Huh? Let's call it the scale then. Who's a man who's something super? So, yani, naturally, yani, even when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the man who had engaged with a woman from Al-Ansar, he said, did you look to her? He said, no. He said, go back and look to her face as there is something special in their eyes. Special in their eyes. So the woman has to cover her face in Jeddah, in New York, in London, in Lagos, wherever she goes. She has to cover her face, unless if in London, if they say they put a gate, if they build a fence, wall fence around London, and a gate and a sign say, ladies only, then yes. But I don't think that there are no men in London. I don't think. Wallahu a'lam. Right, last question, another. Right. Regarding and then read this one.
What about, you said about the couple is okay, but what about if the woman were to come and she's blackening the eyelashes of the eyes?
If the woman is wearing niqab, now niqab has an understanding. Niqab has an understanding. The niqab of today is different from the niqab of before. At the time of the Sahaba, as Ibn Mas'ud said, as is in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir, that the niqab was only a small hole, round hole, for one eye to see the road well. Today, there are niqabs that our wives wear. And I said our wives, not my wives. So no one says something. They wear it. They wear it. Here in Saudi Arabia, they wear it. The niqab is beneath, and there is a kind of levite after it, so nobody can see through it. If she's wearing this, yes. And I don't advise her to wear nothing else but this. Unless if she is kind of suffering of bad sighting, that's a different thing. She does not need to put her in, and she can have two holes for her eyes to see with. Allahu Akbar. By this issue, who misses a prayer until the next prayer time comes and he finds the jama'ah performing this next time prayer, has different opinions amongst the scholars. Some say to pray behind an imam, you must have the same intention of his and the same actions of his. Meaning, if you missed Maghrib and found the people praying Isha, you cannot pray behind the Maghrib. Because now the intention and actions are different. Your intention is Maghrib, his intention is Isha. You're going to do 3, he's going to do 4. Then, this is totally, as they say, not permissible. Some others said, it is okay to pray behind the Maghrib and sit on the 3rd rak'ah. These people said, they went on 2 different opinions. One opinion say, you sit, make your tashahhud quick, make salam, and catch him on his 4th rak'ah to be your 1st rak'ah of Isha. Which really, I did not find any dalil for that. It's an ijtihad of great ulama, but where is the dalil? Some others said, you sit and wait for him until he comes and comes back and sit and do salam with him. Again, this also doesn't have any dalil on it. The proper opinion is that you pray with him with the intention of Isha, for example. With the same thing with Dhuhr and Asr, same thing. Because the intention is different. Although the action is the same, but the intention is different. Now, they say, you pray behind him, the Isha, and you consider it as Sunnah. Only because you are told to join the Jama'ah. So you pray with them as a nafl. And after this prayer, you go pray Maghrib and then pray Isha. Right? Some others say, if the intention is different and the action is similar, then no problem to pray behind him with the intention of the missed prayer, because the two prayers' actions are the same, like Dhuhr and Asr. Right? The proper opinion that I find is that when you come in Asr and you have missed Dhuhr, then no problem because the action is similar. But when you come in Isha, you don't join with the intention of Maghrib, because both now the intention and the action are different. So you join them as nafl, and then pray after that the Maghrib, and then follow it with Isha. If you are a traveler, then you do Isha 2 rak'ah. But to what I understood from the question now, that these people went from Jeddah to Mecca. Is Jeddah to Mecca considered to be travel that you shorten the prayer with? Too many scholars today know, because neither to the Urf nor to the distance, nor to the time you spend in traveling, walking or on animal between Jeddah and Mecca, that you can have it as a safar. Those who say or who consider the timing, one day and night, as Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Jeddah and Mecca, you can call it and lesser than one day and night. Because it's only around 50 kilometers from the last buildings of Jeddah to the first buildings of Mecca. Because Jeddah and Mecca expanded now, so the distance between them is small. It's not that big as before. Those who say distance, they say 83 kilometers. But the distance between Jeddah and Mecca is smaller. And those who say the Urf, as Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah, the Urf today, Jeddah and Mecca is not safar. It's not a trouble. Jeddah and Mecca, maybe. I was asked about a place in America which is even shorter than Jeddah and Mecca. But the people of these two towns consider going to the other town is a trouble. And they don't go Yani very rarely that they go. And when they go, they get ready for travel. They get their luggage and... So if this is the case, that's different. This is urf. This is based on the urf. But the urf today here in Jeddah is that Jeddah and Mecca is not a trouble. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu sallam mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala ansar. Huh? Behind the Imam? Behind the mountains. After you leave the last buildings, you cannot shorten before you come out of the city. If you are still with the boundaries of the city, like Jeddah, for example, you are going to Medina, after Dahban you cannot shorten. Because Dahban is still considered from Jeddah. Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mubarak ala nabiyyina Muhammad alayhi wa sallam.